Chapter 22. No usable prints on the judge's handbag. At least half a dozen people touched the car. So far, none of those prints have come back with a rap sheet, Tippin said. He paced back and forth at the end of the conference table, tall and thin, with a long caricature of a face, all angles and hollows, craggy brow, bristly salt-and-pepper mustache. He had been a detective with the sheriff's department for years before making the move to work homicide with the city cops. As a sheriff's detective, Tippin had first teamed with Kovac and Liska on a multi-agency task force to solve the cremator murders, a killer who had targeted primarily prostitutes, tortured and killed them, then set their bodies on fire in a public park. They had worked well as a team and had become drinking buddies after. Judge Moore gets more than her fair share of hate mail, Elwood Knutson, another of the cremator task force. A man roughly the size of a small brown bear, Elwood was their philosopher in a too-small pork pie hat. That's hard to believe, Liska said sarcastically. Kovac said nothing. Her clerk has it separated by degrees, crazy, crazier, and certifiable. Threats? Kovac asked. Veiled and not so veiled. Anything she gets that looks legitimately scary goes to the sheriff's detectives. Elwood glanced at Tippin and said, Really? It's a wonder she wasn't killed a long time ago, considering. Don't look at me, Tippin said. In case you hadn't noticed, I changed teams. Then why hasn't the quality of their work improved? Liska asked. Tippin fired a chocolate-covered coffee bean at her. He had recently acquired an addiction to them, despite the fact that he was the last guy in the department in need of caffeine to wire himself up. I had all the letters copied and brought them over, Elwood went on, tipping a big hand in the direction of the file folders stacked in front of him. A little bedtime reading, if anyone's interested. What about ex-cons? Kovac asked. Any bad guys recently released who might think they have a big axe to grind? I've tracked some of the more obvious candidates through their parole officers, Liska said. So far, I don't like any of them for the assault. Despite all efforts by the Department of Corrections, it seems several of them have actually reformed and can be accounted for by their bosses at the time of the judge's attack. But, she continued, I do have a hot prospect in Ethan Pratt, the father of the foster kids who were murdered. Tippin arched a shaggy brow. He's been out of the picture since conception, but now he cares so much he assaults a judge? He's of a type, Liska said. One of those guys who only wants to be around to make the big dramatic scene. An asshole, Kovac declared. Pratt's done jail time for minor assault. He punched out a guy in a sports bar for being a Dallas Cowboys fan. That's a crime? Elwood asked. Knocked around a girlfriend. Big temper, small brain, Liska said. He made the news when Carl Dahl was arrested, giving a loud, obnoxious statement outside the courthouse after the arraignment, demanded the death penalty. It somehow escaped his notice that we don't have the death penalty in this state. I saw that, Elwood said. Fu Manchu mustache and a blow-dried mullet. Liska nodded. The perennial favorite hot look for the white trash set. You ever have a mullet, Sam? Elwood asked. Kovac scowled at him. Jesus Christ. He had the mustache, Liska said with mischief in her eyes. I've seen the photographs. It was the 80s, Kovac defended himself. Every cop with balls had a Fu Manchu. Yeah? I don't think I was born yet. Kovac gave her a look across the table and tried not to laugh.
Don't make me come over there, Tinkerbell.
What are you gonna do? Liska teased. Beat me with your walker?
You're just begging for a full day of misogynist PMS jokes.
Hi, you're the one asking for it, Kojak. As you well know, you are no match for my mouth.
I'm not touching that, Tippin announced. It's too easy.